Earlier today, I spoke with Mia Bloom. She's an expert in terrorism and mass violence at Georgia State University. And I asked her about President Obama's description of the attack in Orlando as both a hate crime and an act of terrorism.
I think that the president was very on point as far as saying that it doesn't have to be one thing at the exclusion of others. It was definitely a hate crime, and it was an act of terrorism. The extent to which it might have either been directed or inspired by ISIS remains part of the mystery that is unfolding. But clearly this is someone who, you know, we might even introduce the fact that his ex-wife, Sitora Yousafi, says that he was mentally ill. So the issue I would have is, if this was a white person who had done something horrible during gay pride to the gay community, who their ex-wife said was mentally ill and some of their work colleagues said was mentally ill, they would just be mentally ill. And we've had a lot of those examples. The problem is, because of the fact that in the middle of the attack, he makes a 911 call and pledges allegiance to ISIS, the whole situation is muddied. And I think that, you know, we have to be sensitive to the fact that he clearly had expressed on several occasions to his father, to his ex-wife, to his colleagues, a hatred both for the gay community and the Jewish community. So this was someone who was homophobic, racist, anti-Semitic. There was a lot going on.
So targeting gays, Latinos, and there's this allegiance to ISIS, it seems. What kind of inquiry lines would you suggest investigators check out?
Well, I think that right now they're going through social media. I saw today an article written by Katie Zavadsky of The Daily Beast that apparently he used to hang out at clubs with drag queens. So I don't know personally if part of the homophobia is extreme interpretation of his own sexual repressiveness. This is not somebody who grew up in Pakistan or Saudi Arabia. This is someone who grew up in the United States, watching television, being exposed to things like Will and Grace. This is not someone who's never seen two gay people kiss before, especially if he's hanging out at clubs with people who are cross-dressing. The other thing that I found a little disturbing in terms of the association with ISIS is that it came out that he was trying 2 weeks ago to get onto a VIP list for a different gay club. And so he's basically had 2 weeks to make his pledge of allegiance, and he didn't. What he did do was 20 minutes into the attack, made a 9/11 call, and then made his allegiance. So I just don't find that especially convincing. I think I would need to see more.
So you raised the mental health issue a moment ago, Mia. What would you say is the mental health link between somebody like Mateen? And I know it's still very hard to say because a lot of information is still coming in on all these cases I'm about to mention. But the mental health link between someone like Mateen, Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, the man who carried out the Paris attacks, and any ISIS suicide bomber in Syria, are they all on the spectrum of psychological disorders in some way?
You know, it's interesting that psychologists have been looking for the ideal psychological profile of a terrorist for over 40 years. Jerry Post spent his whole career looking for it. And whether it even exists or not remains a question, or maybe it hasn't been found. But over the course of my career of having studied terrorism for 27 years, as well as hundreds of interviews conducted by my colleague John Horgan, what you find with terrorists is that they would not fall under the DSM-4. They would not fall under the category of mentally ill. The vast majority of terrorists are not mentally ill because a mentally ill person is unstable, they're unreliable, they're not able to maintain operational secrecy. And so terrorist groups tend not to go for mentally ill people.
Mia Bloom, professor at Georgia State University, speaking with us from Atlanta. Thank you, as always.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope this was helpful.
Yesterday's massacre in Orlando left many of us at a loss for words, but not the presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump. He didn't hesitate to label the attack radical Islamic terrorism, and Trump challenged President Obama to use the same kind of language. Today, Trump went on to say, "We need to tell the truth about how radical Islam is coming to our shores." The World's Religion reporter Matthew Bell explores how U.S. political leaders are talking about Orlando.
President Obama met with senior security officials today and said investigators are looking at the Orlando mass shooting as a terrorist attack.
It appears that the shooter was inspired by various extremist information that was disseminated over the internet.
Obama said FBI officials are examining those materials to find out more about the killer's motivation. And he said there is a connection between the suspected shooter, Omar Mateen, and ISIS, or ISIL, as the president calls it.
It does appear that at the last minute, he announced allegiance to ISIL. But there is no evidence so far that he was, in fact, directed by ISIL. And there also, at this stage, is no direct evidence that he was part of a larger plot.
The president said, quote, perversions of Islam on the internet might have been a factor. But as he's done in the past, Obama stayed away from the words radical Islamic terrorism. And that might be wise in this case, according to Mia Bloom at Georgia State University. She's an expert on terrorism and mass violence. And she says it's not clear how much radical Islamic ideology, or ISIS, was the driving factor behind the attack.
This attack looks to me a lot more like San Bernardino, where you have an individual who has pre-existing issues, and then the veneer of the ISIS affiliation provides either a seriousness or a street cred, or even, in their perverse way of understanding it, a legitimacy to their actions.
David Gartenstein Ross is a terrorism expert at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He says it's not all that important for U.S. officials to repeat the precise phrase radical Islamic terrorism. What is important after an attack like this, he says, is for Americans to stand together.
You know, the fact is that this is not an attack that represents the American Muslim community. And the American Muslim community has a right to grieve with all of the rest of us, and shouldn't be singled out as being different.
But Gartenstein Ross adds that politicians should not soft-pedal the ideological aspects of what drove this killer to open fire on a nightclub full of people.
He may be many other things as well, but he claimed this attack, you know, on behalf of ISIS, and he went after a set of victims that groups like ISIS and al-Qaeda have been known to target. When you strip aside kind of the politics of the discussion, I think that factually you cannot get around the notion that he is a radical Islamist.
Even so, Shadi Hamid of the Brookings Institution says the political back and forth over the specific phrase radical Islamic terrorism seems pretty irrelevant in the immediate aftermath of an atrocity like this.
This term that Trump obsesses over, radical Islamic terrorism or whatever, is actually a stand-in for something darker. That this is a way of essentially castigating Muslims without explicitly doing it.
Hamid is the author of a new book called Islamic Exceptionalism: How Islam is Shaping the World, where he argues that U.S. policymakers are not very good at talking about religion. And that's especially true when it comes to Islam.
It's the fact that religion plays a more prominent role in many Muslim-majority countries. And I think someone like President Obama, sort of self-styled technocrat who doesn't like to be aroused by the passions of politics, he has, I think, a lot of trouble taking these motivations seriously. The way he's traditionally talked about ISIS, I do think, is problematic, where he dismisses them oftentimes as a bunch of thugs and fanatics, as if he can't even bring himself to take them seriously as a global force.
As for Hillary Clinton, she said today that she will not refrain from using the term radical Islamism to describe the attack in Orlando. That's a shift from her recent rhetoric. But she went on to say that Americans should not demonize or declare war on an entire religion. For The World, I'm Matthew Bell.